guys, welcome back to the channel. We have been gone for...
You can't say channel because this is on Spotify.
This is on YouTube.
This is on Spotify.
And YouTube.
Okay, sure, whatever.
I can say channel.
All right.
That's well, fine.
I mean, okay, go.
Welcome back to the channel. Two Latin Brothers Podcast.
Yeah.
We've been gone for some time. We haven't done much.
We took a hiatus. I'm still sick, as you can hear.
I mean, I've also been doing school, so there's that.
Well, you also got sick last week.
Yeah,
so.
I've also done sickness.
What's that? What's that sheet of paper?
I have no idea what the sheet of paper is. Let's just read it.
Oh, no.
Wouldn't be the person I am today if I didn't experience life the way I have. This must be a script of some kind.
Of some kind.
Yeah. Describe your relationship with grief. Ah, no, I don't feel like it. Strategies to process grief. Oh, this is really, really depressing. How grief has impacted my life positively and negatively.
Yeah.
Oh, that's.
I don't know.
That's tough. This seems very personal. I probably can't read this. When I was 10 years old, no. My grandmother.
Oh, no.
No, I can't read this. Whoa, Ottawa Victim Service and Victims of Crime Compensation Unit.
Okay.
We're not reading that. I landed also right back on me. That is skills beyond compare.
Also, the microphone's pointing right at your nose. It looks kind of odd from my perspective.
Okay, well, that's your perspective. This is my perspective.
What was I going to say?
I deal with my own perspectives.
You have a perspective?
Yeah.
Okay, so if you haven't noticed, we're obviously not... In the normal studio.
We're at the college.
Yeah.
Where I do my schooling.
Where he does his schooling.
Yep.
I'm here, you know, sounding like a sick person. Get it done. That's all I can say.
Yeah.
Apart from being sick, bro, how you been?
I've been okay. You know, I've been doing school.
Yeah.
It's getting to the near end of semester. So,
yeah.
You know, big projects and coming up and stuff. So I've been pretty busy with that.
Right. Yeah.
Works good.
Works good. Yeah, that's nice.
I was sick, so I had to catch up on like nothing, because there wasn't really much to catch up on. I only missed what, 2 days?
Yeah,
one day.
Two days.
Was it two days?
It was one day. It was one day because you got sick over the weekend.
Yeah, I missed one day.
Yeah.
Yeah, there wasn't really much to catch up on.
Yeah.
It was interesting being sick because I haven't been sick in so long.
Right,
I haven't been sick since like high school.
Yeah.
And that was like
2 years ago.
3 years ago.
3 years. Oh, man.
Almost 3 years ago.
Wow, that's crazy.
But even then, like, it was before I finished high school. So, like, grade 11 was the last time I had been sick.
Wow.
So, grade 11, grade 12, and then first year, second year. Yeah, it's been like 3 years.
Wow.
Since I've been sick.
Okay, look, we don't need a deep dive into your ailments.
My ailment was not nice. I had a fever.
I'm sure you did.
I had a headache.
Crazy.
Yeah, it was not fun whatsoever.
Yeah, I'm sure it wasn't.
Yeah, no. It was not a good time.
What was I going to say? Okay, so that was how you were.
Yeah.
Just like the most average weeks in the world.
Yeah.
Besides the fact that you got sick. Was that the only highlight?
I wouldn't call it a highlight. I mean, we did watch a movie yesterday. Pretty good movie,
okay,
not gonna lie.
Sure.
If I do say so myself.
Yeah, I was gonna say that for the second half, but sure, we can talk about it right now.
No, we're gonna talk about it right now.
Okay, we can talk about it right now.
We watched Oppenheimer.
Yeah.
And oh my goodness, was it good.
Oh yeah, everybody talk about that hype, and I get it now.
Yeah, it was.
I'm gonna be honest, it was 3 hours. I didn't feel it.
It felt like 2 hours. See, but I don't like the fact that it felt like 2 hours.
Right, yeah.
You know why I don't like the fact that it took three, like, that it was 3 hours and felt like two?
Why don't you like that?
Because then it starts to normalize three hour films.
Yeah.
And I don't want to sit down for 3 hours just to hear a story.
I mean, it's a pretty good story.
Oh, it's a phenomenal story.
I mean,
it's
also very historic, very impactful.
Oh, yeah.
Changed the world, really.
Yeah.
But I mean, not to say that other stories aren't as important.
Yeah.
But this is an important story to tell.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, some of the elements were, you know, exaggerated for drama.
Yeah.
But it definitely was, I think, a fairly good portrayal of it. Considering all the things that had to happen.
mm-hmm.
and kind of align and just kind of seeing what lengths the American government had to go through.
Yeah, to get it done.
To get it done, right? Like, yeah. They're like, oh, we're just going to hand out security clearance to everybody. Like, we just got to get it done.
Not, they weren't handing it out.
Yeah, but like,
they were...
It was questionable at best.
Yeah, there was a lot of things that they had to do to get in the position that they were in.
The position that they're in now.
Yeah, not very nice. Not going to lie to you.
But, I mean, there's a lot.
I mean, like, the movie... The movie was good.
Yeah.
The movie was good. And there was just... There was so much like pain,
yeah,
and analyzing, and just countless hours spent just doing one thing,
yeah,
and then it's like taken away from you,
yeah,
and then you're like, what now?
Well, I also think the fact that they showed Albert Einstein,
yeah.
Albert Einstein appears a couple of times.
Honestly, that was probably the best cameo I've ever seen.
Honestly, I'm gonna be honest with you. Like, I loved every moment of that because, like, you know how you picture Albert Einstein? Like, he must have been hard to communicate with him.
Yeah.
But then, like, they portray him as, like, the chillest human ever.
Like, he dropped his hat and he was just like, oh, thanks.
Yeah, you know, like, but I mean, in the sense of, like, it must have been one of those things where.
It's because we've always.
Because everybody knew who he was by then. Like, when they're doing the math, right?
Yeah.
You go consult him because he is the expert.
Yeah.
Like, who do you go for mathematical expertise?
Yeah.
Like, back then, they were at the pinnacle of... And you said this last night.
Yeah.
They were at a time where they could really test science.
Yeah.
And they could do whatever they wanted.
Yeah.
In the name of science.
Yeah.
Like, it was crazy. It's crazy stuff that you think about, but ultimately, I think... It's what moved humanity forward.
Yeah.
And we needed people like that.
And like the crazy, like the minds of that period.
Yeah.
Like the, oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Like you got Dr. Oppenheimer.
Yeah.
You got Albert Einstein.
Yeah.
You got Bohr.
Right.
You got,
what was that? What was that German guy?
Teller.
Teller, yeah.
You got, oh, what's his name?
That guy with the glasses.
Oh my gosh, what was his name?
Rabbi?
Rabbi. Oh my gosh, yes, yeah. Rabbi.
Yeah.
Oh, he's also really good. Yeah. Like his whole magnetic resonance theory.
All of these guys are just—they were way ahead of their time.
Oh yeah.
Like just
look at Bohr.
Yeah.
Bohr's taught in high school.
Yeah.
Like Bohr's model for the hydrogen atom, like right, where you, the structure where you put atoms on it.
Yeah.
That's. Him,
yeah,
like wow,
it's called Bohr's model,
yeah.
I mean, his name is in the title,
I know, but like, oh, like you saw my reaction every time they were naming a scientist.
No, it's,
I was just like, I forgot these guys are alive at the same time,
yeah. It's like it's pretty crazy, like, especially that they could have moments where they could have conversations like
oh,
this,
oh, yeah,
because I think especially for them. It must have been one of those things where you're not alone.
Yeah, it's such like, mental stimulus.
There's another human who understands when I talk about what I like to do.
Oh, yeah.
It's definitely definitely some stuff that it's really thought-provoking as well, like for the time period,
mm-hmm.
considering what was going on in the world at the same time.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
I would have loved to sit down in that room. Like,
you think you would have got security clearance?
No, I definitely wouldn't have, but but like the thing is, I understand a lot.
Yeah,
like obviously I wouldn't follow.
I feel like there would be points where you would get lost.
No, I'd love it. I'd love every moment of being lost.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Oh,
because you would look around the room, and you could tell everybody's like on the same line. Like I'm just dumb.
Yeah, like realistically, it's just absolute mind.
Yeah.
It's just, they're there.
Right.
They understand the fabrics of reality.
Yeah.
I would have loved to sit down to talk with like Albert Einstein. And I just love the fact that they went Albert. you know, like everybody thinks of Albert Einstein. They never think to call him Albert.
No,
you're going to call him Einstein.
I thought they would have called him Doctor.
Yeah. Dr. Einstein.
Yeah.
Well, like that didn't happen. It was just like, sup, Albert.
Yeah.
Like the only people who would call these people doctors were people who didn't know them.
Yeah.
Like on a personal level.
Because that's what it was, right? Like
yeah,
they were just people to other scientists.
I know.
Like, because they had that relationship where you're just like my bro, you know?
Yeah. And like, I loved the interpretation, like the humanity.
Yeah.
Because a lot of the times when you're representing or when you're shown academics,
yeah,
you think people like posh. You think posh people like, you know, well-mannered demeanor. And these guys are just like, nah, I'm human. Just seeing their whole demeanor being like, yo, I'm human.
Yeah, no, for sure. I definitely found moments in the film where, considering it's Oppenheimer's story, right?
Yeah.
Just, I mean, some of the ideologies he had obviously weren't the greatest, but ultimately at the end of the day,
yeah,
he was a very moral person.
Oh, yeah.
Which is kind of interesting considering what he helped accomplish.
Yeah.
Right? And the fact that he even suggested where to drop a bomb, you know, like that.
I mean, because like realistically what he was doing, and it's something that a lot of people struggle with, mm-hmm, is, and there's like a phrase kind of coined for it, is appreciating the art and ignoring the creator.
Exactly.
So like he was doing his job,
mm-hmm,
and he didn't care like the results. And that doesn't sound good when you say it, but he was just doing his job. Like he was just making ends meet and he was doing what his country told him was best.
Right. Yeah. And also the fact that in that time,
yeah,
it was whatever it takes to win.
Yeah. It was a race.
It quite literally was, right?
Yeah.
And considering the fact that when Albert showed up with this letter, right, he was like, yo, dude, like,
yeah,
it's getting real over there. Like, y'all got to get your act together.
Yeah.
Right? And so they did. And then, you know, having conversations with one-off people where they found out, like, oh, they took a misstep or whatever.
Yeah.
Right? And those were situational where if all of these people hadn't given them the right information.
No, oh, yeah.
Like, it's just, it's crazy.
Like, you needed people who were certain of their numbers.
Exactly.
Like,
it's a bit of a running joke throughout the movie where there was a high probability of them when they at first they ignite the atomic bomb, if you don't know this. And I knew this already because I can't remember where I learned this.
Yeah.
There was a calculation where the atoms would just become exponentially combusting.
Yeah.
And so essentially what would happen is the atmosphere itself would essentially catch fire and then it would just kill us all.
Yeah.
So there was that. And so there was so they ran the numbers again and again and again. And then they did the math to the point where it was almost zero, but it wasn't zero. And then that was like the running bit where, you know, like, well,
creating fission to the point where it's safe.
Right. Yeah. Like, how do we do this to a point where we can achieve what we want?
Yeah.
Without killing everybody. But the problem was it was still wasn't when they did the test.
Yeah.
Still wasn't certain.
Yeah.
And it still kind of isn't. I don't know if it is or it isn't.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I'm sure someone's done the math already. I'm not
100% sure.
I'm not in that space, as you could tell.
Yeah.
I don't move in those social circles.
Yeah. But what I like, I just love how they represent theory,
mm-hmm,
and then like the actual experiment.
Right.
So like you see the little contrast between it, because there's a moment where they're talking about splitting the atoms,
mm-hmm,
and then Dr. Oppenheimer says it's not possible.
And then he shows the math.
And then he shows the math.
Yeah, he does it. And then
then they even go, wow, like, it's Laura, elegant.
What's this guy? His name's Lawrence.
Yeah.
Dr. Lawrence. He's in the room and he goes, wow, that's really nicely done. It's very elegant, too.
Yeah.
And then he's like, and they're just looking at a board. I'm like, math. He's like, it's not possible.
And then somebody runs in and it's just like
I just did next door.
I replicated it. I just did it. Like, oh my gosh. Yeah, right?
But Oppenheimer, and so he goes, we could make a bomb with this.
Yeah, and that at that moment,
because
once you really, at a base level, when you realize what was created, any physicist would have seen it and been like, we know exactly.
Because he realized as soon as, they say it in the movie, I think it wasn't him, he's like, so we just realized it's what every other physicist in the world
just thought of
seeing this.
Yeah.
And so that all on its own is.
Yeah.
Is kind of crazy.
Yeah.
I think there are definitely moments where, as as a society, we don't take into account the incredible thing they had to do.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like, also, they were strapped for time.
Yeah.
Like, it had to be done. And, you know, and the crazy thing is they say that Japan had already lost the war by the time it was dropped. But realistically, I don't think the people would have given up.
Yeah.
Because they were, and don't get me wrong, Japan is a very resilient country.
Oh, yeah.
As a people.
Yeah, and even people today even still make jokes about it.
Yeah.
Like, how Japan represents themselves in a specific way now to the rest of the world. And then it's just like, why else do you think we act like this?
Exactly.
America put the mask on us.
Not only that, Japan, one of their cities affects the global economy.
Oh, yeah.
Like in Tokyo, I can't remember where, like there are certain devices.
Yeah.
Like there's tech that is launched exclusively in Japan.
Yeah.
Before the rest of the world, because if it does poorly in Japan, they know it's going to do poorly in the rest of the world because they affect the global economy in such a way that it's crazy. And I'm like, man, that's power.
Oh, yeah.
Like when your people's wallets has enough power to affect the entire world, that's power.
Oh, yeah.
Like, say what you will. I mean, that's power.
Yeah.
Anyway,
we'll be back right after this short break.
This podcast is brought to you in part by Two Latin Brothers Podcast. You thought there wouldn't be a commercial, but there is. So make sure to follow us on TikTok, Instagram, and Twitter. We'll see you guys right now.
And we're back.
Oh, long intermission.
Guys. Long, long intermission.
We went for lunch.
So that's Oppenheimer. And phenomenal.
I mean, I could talk about that for probably 3 hours if I'm being honest.
Yeah, it's a really, really good movie.
Yeah, Christopher Nolan outdid himself.
Yeah.
Also, the soundtrack is just
good too. It's just all good. It's so good.
It's just so good.
Let's see. What else have we, what else have we done with the time we've had existing? Oh, we kind of watched the Miss Universe. That happened. And Nicaragua, was it?
Yeah, Nicaragua.
That one?
Yeah.
For the first time ever?
Yeah.
She made history?
Yeah.
You know. So congratulations to her as a member of the Latino community.
You know, we're all still talking about Miss Singapore, though.
Miss Singapore?
Miss Thailand.
Miss Thailand, yeah.
Thailand,
runner-up.
Miss Thailand, yeah.
Runner-up, yeah.
That was, you know.
Another runner-up was Australia.
Yeah.
Yep.
Crazy stuff, you know.
Crazy stuff. Beautiful women.
I mean, I'm gonna be honest with you. Like, I don't really get what the criteria is.
Yeah, like that. We watched it not knowing anything.
Like, I don't know anything.
Like, I don't know what the point system is here. I don't know how you end up being number one.
I don't
get it. Like, I think I understood that it's a voting system.
Yeah.
But at that point, I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
Sure. I don't really know what to make of it. So, I mean, it was nice. Yeah. Although, like, I don't mean to be rude or anything, but, like, honestly, some of those girls were, like, they need a sandwich.
that was a running bit. Also, mind you, this was done in Latin America.
Yeah.
So some of the commentators were like, get that girl a taco.
Yeah.
Some bananas.
Yeah.
And
it was done in El Salvador.
Yeah, it was done in El Salvador. So it was definitely, there were some running bits that were, you know, kind of out of line. But but at the same time, I mean, it also goes to show the human body is like, there are many different shapes, I guess.
Yeah.
One could say. And I feel like that's fair to represent at the same time. And definitely, though, I felt like, going through, watching it and like, you know, seeing all stuff, I was like, man, like, that's crazy. Who was it? Like, Miss Pakistan was the first time ever there had been a Miss Pakistan showing up.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's cool. Like, things like that where, you know, usually it's like super conservative, like, we're not going to do this. Like, you know, it's like slow integration and stuff like that. And obviously, all of these women were like so smart, like
A lot of them have their own running businesses, non for profits, help organizational charities.
Yeah,
like,
just,
like it was, I was blown away. I'm like, wow, these girls are not only beautiful, but they got brains too.
Yeah. And then like, I think it was Miss Chile who had suffered like multiple aneurysms.
Yeah. Yeah.
She's just like,
she saw death in the eye and still survived. And she's
like walking across the stage. I'm like, she can still walk across the stage.
Yeah.
Like someone catch her.
There
are definitely things like that where it's like, whoa, like,
Very impressive.
What am I doing with my time?
I know, because some of those girls were like 20.
Yeah.
I'm 20. Some of those girls were 19.
Well, yeah, one of those were like 19 and like, yeah, I'm a not-for-profit. What?
Yeah, like,
where do you find the time?
Like, oh my
You're
goodness.
A teenager.
Yeah.
Go have a sandwich. but definitely very, very impressive stuff. I also think it's able to showcase how far we have come with women.
Oh, yeah.
In regards to, you know, because before, you know, women could go to school, they could, you know, be educated. Yeah. And to see, especially nowadays, how educated women are.
Yeah.
Not to say that it's intimidating, it's impressive.
Oh, yeah.
And not to say that it's because they're women, it's just in general, like, it's impressive.
Oh, yeah.
Like, even if a guy, like, he tells me he's got a doctorate, I'm like, oh, you're smart. And I'm just, I talk to a microphone all day, you know?
Yeah, pretty much.
But, it's definitely interesting to see how that stuff is. And not to say that, you know, especially from like certain countries, obviously, it's more impressive because, you know, there are definitely certain rules and laws in other countries that don't exist in others.
Yeah.
Like in Canada, I wouldn't say it's hard for a female to get a degree.
Oh, yeah, no.
It's fairly easy.
I wouldn't say it's necessarily.
Because there's no pressure.
I mean, of course, depending on like the schooling that they get and the people that they meet, there is like those minor like, you know, like sexism.
Right,
it's like course. Always creeps through somehow.
I don't know how this happens.
I don't know how it happens, but there's always that little form of discrimination.
For sure, yeah. But apart from that, I would say it's relatively easy. And I mean, and nowadays, like, I feel like it's way easier to come out and say, like, this is an issue, it needs to be addressed, as opposed to before, because now we have all the resources.
Oh, yeah.
Like, there are committees in universities and colleges dedicated to stuffing out these people.
Yeah.
So, like, say what you will. But, like, they're there, right? And so I feel like, you know, like, in Canada, like, most of the first world, let's say.
Yeah.
This is, like, a non-issue at this point.
Yeah.
But it's definitely cool to see, you know, the other countries that don't have
as much progression.
Progression, like, the way we have, where it's you know, it's more readily available.
Yeah.
Also, the thing is where I was doing a report a while ago about literacy and reading and how because of phones, finding an illiterate person is becoming very difficult in most societies, especially like in any city now. If you find an illiterate person, it's usually someone older or someone who has some sort of challenge or learning disability where they're not able to learn process properly and they were never taught how to overcome that.
Yeah.
So it's, that is also relatively impressive as well.
Yeah.
Because there are, we know illiterate people.
Yeah.
And not to say that they're from Canada before you go, whoa, what's going on in Canada? But it's definitely interesting. And I was telling you how, because for those who don't know, I work at a school.
Yeah.
I was telling you about how some of the kids are working on these assignments.
Mm-hmm.
And I was seeing some kids who, because I'm dyslexic, some kids who have software on their Chromebooks to help them work faster or to work equally like a normal person.
Mm-hmm.
And I was
define normal.
Yeah. Okay. But you know what I mean? Like at the same level, because it's not about like giving someone an extra boost.
Yeah.
It's about putting everybody on the same playing field.
Yeah.
Equal opportunity. Right. And that's what those resources are there.
Yeah.
And so, and to see these kids, I'm like how efficient they are and how fast they work. I'm like, I watched so these kids could run.
Oh, yeah.
Like, because growing up, I was like the only one in the room.
Yeah.
So now when I see it, I'm like, man, this is like, it's so cool to see it play out like this.
Yeah.
Especially now.
Yeah. Cause like now they have like resources like speech to text.
Uh-huh.
They have, they have like highlighter tools that change the font.
Yeah.
They have, other tools like read and write. So like you highlight it and it reads it to you.
Mm-hmm.
It's like now you don't even have to truly read it.
Yeah, and then if you want to write, you just talk into a microphone.
Yeah,
does it for
yeah,
like so. Stuff like that where it's just it's crazy.
Yeah,
and I was just like in awe of it all. Like just. Mm-hmm. This is incredible. Like I had to figure out.
Oh, and dictionary tools as well.
Right.
Like, so like if you're reading something, you don't understand it, you just highlight it.
Or you
click
don't know
one.
What the word is, right? Because
yeah. Also suggest like how when you're texting, you get suggestions.
Yeah.
Now when you're typing on the keyboard,
yeah,
you get suggestions too.
So yeah, like, that's what's reading, right?
Yeah.
Growing up, I didn't learn how to use any of this software until I got to college.
Yeah.
Because growing up, a lot of this technology
yeah.
was still in like beta.
Oh yeah.
Like it was, I don't even know if it was beta. It was like before beta, whatever that is.
Yeah.
It's like we just coded out this like white sheet of paper.
Yep.
But it was definitely interesting to see it. And obviously, you know, I think it, as a society, it helps move us forward, right?
Yeah.
Because that's what it is, right? Like, I mean, and MIT, I was telling you this last night,
mm-hmm.
how MIT did a report, I don't know how many years ago, like probably like 2-3, right before the pandemic, they dropped a report how 1 in 3 people has some sort of dyslexia
yeah.
at MIT. So if you think about it like that, that's kind of crazy.
Yeah.
Because MIT is the one pumping out like the smartest people in the world.
Yeah.
And so
some of the smartest
people. Some of the smartest people in the world.
I mean, Caltech too.
I mean, yeah, sure. But you know what yeah. I mean? Like MIT has become...
Yeah.
globally known for that.
I mean, Princeton, too.
I mean, Princeton, too. I mean, that's fair. but you know what I mean.
I love how I'm just, like, throwing more locations.
I know, but you get what I mean, right?
Yeah.
So, but to hear that's, like, a real thing.
Yeah.
Like, there are so many people, like, that have a learning disability.
Oh, yeah.
And they're able to move forward.
Yeah.
Is more like to say a learning disability is no longer a barrier.
Yeah. I think, realistically...
Mm-hmm.
I think everyone's capable of true intelligence.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a matter of which they choose to express their intelligence because some people are academically inclined. So like mm-hmm. they can write you an amazing report.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's people that, you know, aren't the best at it, but they can verbalize and then make it sound amazing. Mm-hmm. And then there's people that can make a art representation of it or build something for it, you know? So like there's different levels of intelligence and different like representations for you to express the intelligence.
For sure. Yeah. No.
So like also like for people who are like slower in processing, just give them the little bit more of time
mm-hmm.
and they're there.
Yeah, no.
And sometimes they can even express themselves better than those who are up to speed.
Right. Yeah, no, for sure. I think it's, but I also think we're all different.
Yeah.
In the sense of we all have our niche.
Yeah.
Our thing, right?
Yeah.
Like some of us are better at other things than like that. Yeah. Like some people are really good at sports. Like,
yeah.
You know, they're very actively aware. And you can tell a good basketball player from a bad basketball player. Same thing with soccer.
Yeah.
You can tell a good soccer player from a bad soccer player.
Yeah.
Right? You could tell who has it and who doesn't.
Yeah.
Right? And it's the same thing with everything else.
Yeah.
Right? You know, like there are good musicians and there are bad musicians.
Oh,
there
yeah.
are musicians who are there because their dad told them to go to lessons, you know?
Yeah.
And then there are those people who
are tone deaf.
That's unfortunate. But and then there are, you know, the same thing with math.
Yeah.
There are people who understand math so well.
Oh, yeah.
And there are people who are like, I hate this. I can't do this.
Yeah, it's interesting. And you see that in the movie Good Will Hunting.
Mm-hmm.
Where he's just like, it's just so easy.
Yeah.
He's like, I do it. And I spend all of my time explaining it to you guys.
Yeah.
It's just like, you know how frustrating that is?
Yeah. Because they didn't understand what
yeah,
he was doing.
Yeah. Because like the high end, like, you know, yeah. supposedly the smart people supposed to be teaching him.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's just out here answering the question
yeah.
like it's nothing to him.
Yeah.
Because it's just simply he grasps it in such an easy manner. It's,
yeah. And in a way where... not everybody else though.
Yeah.
Right. And definitely there are quite a few people who are like this. And some people, you know, it's sad to say, but you have to, like, some people aren't as socially inclined because their brain just leans a little too far to one side.
Yeah.
But those people, those are the ones who are changing the world.
Oh, yeah.
The device we're holding in our hands, like this thing.
Yeah.
This is hundreds of years
yeah.
of math
oh, yeah.
and computational
it's
power.
It's crazy to think that just a small little device
yeah.
has so much computing power.
Yeah.
Not only that it's likely also created by some guy who's an absolute introvert.
Yeah.
Who created the most social device.
Yeah, no, I mean, I can't imagine, like, if you think about the very first phones.
Yeah.
You had to, like, because GPS is.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Let alone, like, to put antenna bands in here, to put GPS, like, all of this stuff, storage, RAM,
yeah.
battery, like, all of this stuff used to be massive.
Oh, yeah.
And then to miniaturize it all.
Oh, like, yeah.
They're going to walk around with this thing in their pocket.
Yeah, it's like when you were a kid, well... To some of you kids, where teachers would be like, you'll never have a calculator in your pocket.
Right.
So, yeah. you know, learn your times tables, yeah. do this, do that. Yeah. And then you're like, well, now I have it all.
I have a scientific calculator on my phone.
Yeah. Now I have a scientific
calculator. Sideways, it's got a scientific. Like, I think that's crazy. That is. But to be honest with you, I've noticed that that's kind of like lacking. It's like you walk up to a kid and you go, what's 9 times 4? And he's.
Yeah.
Yeah. Can I.
Like phone,
you know,
yeah, and it's common.
Yeah.
It's very common because now it's technology is just so integrated.
Yeah.
That it's becoming irrelevant to feel the need to learn it. If you know you can just walk up to the device.
Right.
And
but I think it's good for generations to learn at least the basics.
Oh yeah.
Because
like realistically,
yeah.
I agree with education up to grade 10.
Yeah.
After that, like,
you science, should, most sciences and most maths are theoretical.
Yeah. So right after that,
mm-hmm.
after grade 10, I believe, like, you should, that's when you should be looking for your niche.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the big mistake that I feel a lot of students don't realize.
For sure, yeah.
So they start thinking about what they want to do when they're in grade 11.
Right.
But that's the mistake.
Yeah.
You should be thinking about it in grade 10. Because right. after grade 10, I feel like you have the absolute foundation for your own survival besides how to do your taxes. Because I don't know why we don't teach that in schools.
Yeah.
But that's definitely something.
No, for sure, for sure. And I mean, it's not to say that, I mean, there are some useless things you learn in grade 10. Like,
when's the last time you had to, you know, find why on a line?
Okay, so the other day, this kid was saying how math is easy.
Yeah.
And wrote, you know, y equals mx plus b.
Yeah.
The, you know, the
linear equation.
The linear equation.
Yeah.
And he goes, what's that? I'm like, you learned about that in high school. And he goes, what's that? I'm like, that's the math of a line.
Yeah.
He goes, why do I need to learn what a line is?
Yeah.
I go, why not? Right? Like, that's the reality of it all.
Yeah.
Like, why not learn this?
Yeah.
And that's the thing. I feel like if we all took that approach.
Yeah.
As to, although it may not be useful,
mm-hmm.
someday you never know. And I mean, and it's great. Like, there are things that, well, what's that anime? Dr. Stone.
Yeah.
We've been watching Dr. Stone because it just came.
Yeah.
We've been watching it. There's a lot of math and science that they do in that anime.
Yeah.
That I follow along because I learned all this stuff.
Like, you also have to keep in mind for the intent of the show.
Yeah.
Like, they keep it at a reasonable level.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
For like, and in the first season,
yeah.
they were like, do this experiment at home.
Yeah.
Like, you can totally do this at home.
Yeah.
Like, it's easy.
Yeah.
Like, it's something you should have learned.
Right. No, and for sure. And so, looking back at it, like, and the thing is for me now, some of these things, it's been like 10 years since I've learned them.
Yeah.
And the fact that I can watch a show and I'm like, I understand that.
Yeah.
It means it was taught well to me.
Yeah. It's engraved in your mind.
It was taught properly.
Yeah.
Right. So it's like, I mean, and some of the times, like, I remember, like, especially in, like, my grade 10 science class.
Oh, yeah.
I would daydream in that class.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
yeah, for sure. I think a lot of people did.
but then, you know, when you go, like, biology and then you have to do, you know, chemistry and physics, yeah. like, they're all their own separate thing.
Yeah.
That's when it gets kind of real.
Yeah.
And obviously, you know, I feel like in physics, though, it's just something about it that's just so intriguing.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know what it is. And I think that's, I would say that's the curious science.
Yeah.
Because it's trying to answer questions.
Yeah.
With math.
Real world questions.
Real world. Like, and obviously, back in the days, physics.
Yeah.
Solved a lot of things.
Oh, yeah.
And not only physics, obviously.
But at first, it was algebra.
Yeah.
You know, algebra was the thing solving.
Don't tell Albert.
He didn't like it, but he still did it. Like,
I mean, he had to.
He did it up to the extent. But, like, realistically, physics created equations. And yeah. I said this last night too, while we were watching Oppenheimer.
Right.
I'm like, realistically,
yeah.
I'm like, there's just so many more efficient equations in physics that allows me to do algebra in an easier way and more precise.
Yeah.
I'm like, so why even bother do it the other way?
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely interesting to think about because, well, I feel like because of what we were saying earlier with kids not feeling the need to learn things.
Yeah.
I feel like if we let that progress,
mm-hmm.
eventually they'll just be in school for the sake of being in school.
Yeah.
Right. And we don't need that right now. We need people who question things.
Oh yeah.
People who are like, but why?
Yeah.
You know,
so like that comes, oh, this could go very long, but we're going to keep it nice and short for you guys.
Right.
That brings us to the topic of AI.
Yeah.
Realistically, AI is allowing human innovation.
Right.
Because everything else is grunt work.
Mm-hmm.
If you have a man who knows how to ask all the right questions and put him in front of an AI, he can accomplish a lot.
For sure.
If he just asks the right questions.
Yeah.
He doesn't have to be the most intelligent person, but he just has to know how to ask questions.
Yeah.
And that's what AI is enabling.
Yeah.
Whether it be in audio, in video, in writing, in math or coding.
Yeah.
If you can just ask the proper question,
it's like,
it does the problem solving.
I can't remember where I was reading where someone asked ChatGPT to code something in a simpler way.
Uh-huh.
And I think it was something like 400 lines of code.
Mm-hmm.
And it was cut down to like 150 lines of code.
Wow.
And it's like, so it's like a third of the work just.
Yeah.
Just,
efficiency.
Just disappeared.
Yeah.
And I was thinking about, I'm like, man, like that. That kind of changes everything.
Yeah.
Because the human brain can only simplify or create efficiency so far.
Yeah.
Right? But to be like miles ahead of.
Yeah. So like it's realistically, if you just bring it back to small, like bringing it back to algebra.
Great. Why would you do that?
Like if you take a look at like factoring and stuff like that. How you expand an equation to condense your answer.
Right.
So realistically, it's just like our brains need to expand to understand the answer.
Exactly.
But what computation does is just simply go straight to the...
It's like math from like grade 1 to 6.
Yeah.
It's base.
Yeah.
Just so when you get to grade 7 and 8, you can go, this is bed mass.
Yeah.
Everything up until that moment is like the bare minimum just so we can get to this level.
Oh, yeah.
Just so you can understand what's really going on.
Yeah, brackets first. you could understand that these little bracket thingies go first.
No, right. But what I'm getting at is that, right?
Yeah.
Like there's definitely things that you have to learn the bare minimum in order to get to the big picture.
Right? Oh, yeah.
And in physics, it's like that. You have to start at the bottom to get to the theoretical stuff.
Yeah. When COVID happened and I started doing physics in the academic world.
Right.
At an academic level.
Yeah.
Man, like just, I gained such appreciation. Mm-hmm. Like I already liked it.
Mm-hmm.
But then just being represented like harder equations.
Mm-hmm.
And then being like, okay, if I do this and then I do that and then I do this, and then it's just like, it's like a web that is tangled.
See,
and then you start unraveling.
I think this is interesting, you know?
Yeah.
Because you entered that area.
Yeah.
And I entered the other side of it.
Yeah.
The algorithmic side of it.
Yeah.
When I entered education.
Oh, yeah.
So it's very interesting. Like we have two very different perspectives on it. Like, especially when it comes to math, at least.
Yeah.
And it's just... Like how many, like in our cases, like how many times can I make something happen before it's too much?
Yeah.
Right. Like that was the thing. Right.
Yeah.
And so, or how to make something happen once and then have it repeat itself.
Yeah.
But achieve a different result.
Yeah.
So like that was the thing. Right.
Yeah.
And so, and this is for those who don't know, I took computer programming when I started college.
Yeah.
So it's very, you know, very, very different. More computer science-y, right?
Yeah.
I'm dealing with electricity, you know, bits and stuff.
Yeah.
But it's definitely cool to see both sides, right?
Yeah.
Because my side is like, it's all about efficiency. Yeah. And then on your side, it's like, well, what about this?
Yeah. It's just like, if I throw this with this, what does that make? Because like, I also got into like biochemistry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. So like the chemistry of the body.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just like, what happens if I throw this in the body? What would the body do?
Right.
So like, let's grab these ratios, mix them together. Let's grab this equation, smack that on there.
Yeah, no. I mean, this.
Oh, no.
All of this stuff is
he
like.
He unalived.
Whoa. No, there's definitely a lot of stuff. Like, this conversation could go on forever.
Yeah.
But there's definitely stuff that it's very cool.
Yeah.
And if you're in your late teens, I highly recommend you, I don't know, watch a YouTube video about this stuff. Like,
honestly, like, if you're interested in physics and stuff like that, go to YouTube. Yeah. If you're interested in, like, biochem, there's phenomenal YouTube channels.
Oh, yeah.
And like, I spent hours upon hours.
Remember that? There's a meme about that one guy who's like, he was saying how his professor can explain it to him.
Yeah.
But that one Indian guy on YouTube explains it and it just makes sense.
Yeah.
That was me in college. Yeah. That was so me in college. I was like, I'd go to YouTube and like, there'd be this one Indian guy who just explained it.
Yeah, there's always that. It's because there's different teaching methods, different teaching styles. Yeah. So, like, if your teacher teaches you something and it doesn't make sense to you, I definitely encourage you.
Go to YouTube.
Go to YouTube and search up the topic that you're researching in or that you're learning about. And it'll be taught either in the same way, different words, or a different method.
Yeah, or sometimes changes just everything. Explained in a more, it's the same method, but explained in a more detailed manner.
Because a lot of the times I feel like when you're, and I noticed it when I was, because I was in a college pathway and then I took a university pathway.
Mm-hmm.
And what I realized was a lot of the times in the college pathway, they explain why.
Yeah.
And when you're in the academic strain, they're like, you do this, you do this, you do this, and it resolves this.
Yeah.
I didn't get the why.
Yeah.
So, like, why did this do this to this, do this to because create in, this and this and this and this?
In the college sphere, right, it's more about you have to be able to do it, apply it, use it. As opposed to in university, it's like, I'm going to teach you this. And this is how it is.
Yeah.
Right? Like, this is the reality of
it. Yeah, this is how it's done.
Right.
And then once you're close to, like, the ending of, like, of your studies, you're like, this is why this is why.
Then that's
this
when they make you write, what's it called? There's a word for it.
Your thesis?
Your thesis, thank you.
Yeah.
yeah, sorry, it's just too many things going on in my head right now.
Honestly, our minds are probably the most amazing thing created.
I mean, at this point,
because they created everything in this room.
Yeah.
It's thanks to the minds of men.
Yeah.
And women. Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of things. We've gone way over.
We've gone way over the time.
This second half is like twice the size of the first half.
Anyways, guys, hopefully you enjoyed this episode of the podcast. Make sure to subscribe. Make sure you, leave a comment, whether it be up, down, left, or right. Share with the grandmother, share with the rooster, share with the donkey. And we'll catch you guys on the next one. Peace.
Bye.